This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Well, it turns out that billionaires are not welcome in the Democrat Party, even though a billionaire has entered the race for Democrat presidential nomination. So how's Michael Bloomberg going to do it? The president says the impeachment show this week is a farce, but it's going to be on a television near you. And hey, Philly, time to trade used guys for y'all, according to the esteemed advice from Philly Mag. Why? Because woke. That's why. Welcome back to the show. Glad you were here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. So you see now with the impeachment hearings coming this week to a television near you, a lot of the attention is going to be turned towards the quid pro quo, as it's called, the transcript, what the president said, what the president didn't say, what the president was trying to get from the president of Ukraine, what he wasn't trying to get. All this is going to be televised on television. The Republicans smartly are pushing back and saying, well, on our witness list, we want to hear from Hunter Biden. We want to hear from the whistleblower, quote unquote. We want to hear from these people. We want to know what they have to say. We want to know what Hunter Biden did over there. We want to have him as one of our witnesses. That's very important to think about from that perspective of having the Republicans say, this is who we want. And the guy that we want most out of everybody, Hunter Biden, and maybe Joe Biden, too. Maybe we'll have Joe come and tell us about the time that he talked about having the prosecutor fired in Ukraine, the one who just happened to be investigating his son's company. Maybe we'll talk to him about what he told President Obama regarding the potential withholding of aid that he bragged about. Potentially withholding the aid. Maybe we'll have them there, too. And I think that's really smart strategy because this is not a criminal procedure. This is a political battle. And to win the political battle, you've got to go on offense. You got to fight. You got to go on offense. And you got to make people at least come to the understanding that what they're saying about the president is as damaging to the president as it is to Joe Biden. In other words, if Joe Biden and President Obama were trying to withhold money to Ukraine over the fact that they were concerned the prosecutor was corrupt, and President Trump was trying to withhold money to Ukraine because they were concerned the prosecutor was corrupt or that the country was not doing enough to investigate corruption, well, if that's bad, then it's bad for both. It's bad for everybody. Everybody's bad. Or you say Biden, well, he wasn't really bad because the prosecutor, everybody wanted him gone. Well, everybody wanted Ukraine to clean up their corruption, too, right? You go, well, Biden wasn't bad because, his son was on the board of Burisma, but that wasn't why he withheld why he threatened to withhold the money. That was not the quid pro quo. All right, well, the president didn't say that they had to get Joe Biden to get the money. The president said they got to figure out, as they're looking into the origins of the Mueller probe, whether or not Biden fired the prosecutor, whether or not that was, in fact, corruption. As you go back and forth on this stuff, you start to realize that it becomes very, very complicated. And if the American people just kind of shrug and go, I don't know. I mean, it seems like they're both asking Ukraine to do things if they want United States money. Then people just go, how's the economy doing? Good? Economy's good? And then they're happy. And then that's how they vote. And then that becomes the issue, the primary motivating issue. So Jamie Dimon was on over the weekend in 60 Minutes. He was on with Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes. She tries to get him to say that the economy is not good. She tries to get him to say that things are bad. But the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase knows the economy is good. And he by the way, J.B. Dimon is a guy who would love to be president. I mean, he'd love to run. He's not a huge Trump fan per se personally, but he knows the economy is doing very, very well. And you can just hear Leslie Stahl. You can hear her try so hard to get J.B. Dimon to say that the economy is not great. But does she succeed? Take a listen.
Stock market is going through the roof, and yet manufacturing production is down over the past year. Wage growth is slowing. So when you look at the state of the economy right now, what do you see? Do you see strength? Do you see petering out?
The consumer, which is 70% of the U.S. economy, is quite strong. Confidence is very high. Their balance sheet's in great shape. And you see that the strength of the American consumer is driving an American economy and a global economy. And while business slowed down, my current view is that, no, it just was a slowdown, not a petering out.
You sound pretty optimistic. about the economy.
Well, I am.
Well, what about...
She's like, but can't you just help me give some doom and gloom to my audience, please, so they can believe that maybe things are going to tank? Please? Stop with the optimism. Come on. I need something depressing to tell everybody. Please. I got to give them hope the economy is going to tank and Trump will lose. Come on. What he said, by the way, too, about the U.S. consumer being 70% of the economy, that's what I've been telling you about. The notion of if we just scare people, they'll get them to stop spending money, and if they stop spending money, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We may have a recession. You see? That's why people in the media, 60 Minutes, it's why all these media outlets keep trying to say, but it's going to be bad, right? I mean, it's getting bad. It's bad, right? Come on, please. Come on. Give me something. Give me something depressing to share with the world. Jamie Dimon's not buying it, though.
Well, what about the issue of unpredictability right now on the economy? Is that worrisome to you? It must be worrisome to every businessman in the country.
The world is unpredictable. I think it's a mistake.
Well, more unpredictable than usual.
No. If you look at history, if you take a newspaper and open it any month of any year, you'd have the same list of hugely unpredictable things.
We've had Why doesn't it feel that way? Why does it feel as if
because you want it to feel that way. That's why. Because you want it to feel like it's totally unpredictable because of who the president is. Come on. Of course, the idea of this being this is unprecedented. We can't even begin to deal with the uncertainty. It's because you and everybody else there in 60 Minutes wants a different president. And the uncertainty of him and his tweets is what you're talking about, not the economy. You know that. I know that. Jamie Dimon knows that, too. That's why he said to you, read a history book. Read a freaking newspaper. Listen to anything that's outside of your bubble. And you realize, no, actually, this is not the most unpredictable time we've ever had. Not really true. Read a book. It's literally what Jamie Dimon just said to the host of 60 Minutes. Read a book, a newspaper, read something, anything. You'll understand. Keep going.
Why does it feel as if we were in a particularly uncertain time?
Human nature looks at fear and reacts to the short run. But again, there have been like 50 or 60 international crises since World War II. Almost only one really affected the global economy in the short run.
What was that? Vietnam?
Vietnam did not. Vietnam, obviously, it's totally changed America, but it was the oil crisis in the Middle East in 1973 when oil went from 2 to 20 and we had a global recession. There have been wars with India and Pakistan. We've had Iraq, Afghanistan, Korea, Vietnam. China had wars with Vietnam. China had wars with Russia. None of those things affected the global economy. And the other thing is people look at the negatives. There are positives. The Berlin Wall went up. The Berlin Wall came down.
And the economy wasn't affected? Is that what you're
barely.
Saying?
Barely. This is the most prosperous economy the world's ever seen, and it's going to be a very prosperous economy for the next 100 years.
You're such a jerk. Would you stop giving all this hope to everybody, please? Would you stop? Enough. I mean, that's the thing. Jamie Dimon knows world events and he knows the economy. And what he's saying to her is not what she wants to hear because they're all holding on. They want a nugget of him to say that this is going to be different. And you notice, too, he brings up 1973. What else happened in that time? Nixon was gone, right? They removed Nixon from office. Why? Not over Watergate. I mean, obviously Watergate was the issue. But what happened is that people turned on Nixon because of the oil crisis, because there was a global recession. And suddenly now Nixon was no longer popular. So if you break it down like that, what actually Jamie Dimon is saying is that if the economy is this strong, Trump's going to be fine. And the only reason why Nixon was removed, the only reason why they forced him out was because of exactly what Jamie Dimon just said. 1973, you have this oil crisis, global recession happens. And that was the single biggest economic challenge in the last 50 years, 60 years, 75 years. We survived all these other things and the economy was strong. But that moment in time was what caused a major problem for the economy. And what happened to the president? Well, he lost his popularity. Everybody turned on him and he was out. And you see, and she knows that. And that's why when she's sitting there and she's kind of going, well, give me something more depressing. Give me something pessimistic. Surely somebody out there somewhere must know something that's terrifying and depressing. She says that, but she knows that. That's the only reason why they pushed out Nixon. It doesn't go with the talking points, and that's why it's such a bummer. That's why Jamie Dimon's bumming everybody out in 60 Minutes with all this hopeful optimism and sunny optimism about the economy. I mean, this guy with his how dare he give all these sunny, optimistic predictions for the future. It totally goes against what we want to hear, which is that the economy stinks, it's going to stink, and Trump's going to be out. I know. It's a bummer. I get it. 855-839-1210. Really, what you should do, though, is be very happy with what Jamie Dimon's saying, because what he's saying is fantastic. Wouldn't it be great if the economy was super strong for the next 100 years? Yes. Like, who could possibly be against that? Unless you're just a super political person. Rob is in New Jersey. Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Rich? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, listen, I was listening to that actuality that you played before with AOC, and I just cannot believe that people would be that dumb to actually fall for that and to just delegitimize an issue, which I know isn't really real anyway. But how do you push back against something like that?
You mean the idea that white supremacism is climate change and that we got to defeat white supremacism to save the earth? It's crazy, right? It's the kind of stuff that used to be talked about maybe in hushed whispers, but now it's out there openly said at a political rally.
And the thing that annoys me, too, is, like I said, people actually believe this. I mean, if that's the case, then I guess Santa Claus really does exist.
Of course he does really exist. What are you saying? Of course he's real.
Well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean, like the Easter Bunny and whatnot. I mean,
he's real, too. I got kids listening. Come on.
Oh, okay.
All right, Rob. Thanks, buddy. Have a great day today. I appreciate it. God, Kim, my kids might be in the car, man.
Yeah, thanks for that save.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Of course, Santa's, you know, coming in.
He's on his way.
Soon.
He's going to do a couple stop-offs at the mall soon.
That's right.
But he's coming. He's on his way. Got the sled gassed up. Solar sled.
Solar sled.
He went green last year. Solar and
reindeer power.
Reindeer power, Dawn. Yes, reindeer power. Reindeer have zero fossil fuel emissions.
See?
Zero carbon. Carbon neutral, the reindeer.
That's right.
Except for when they toot. Because reindeer toots like cow tooths have a lot of methane. Terrible for the environment. It's awful. Mike's in Broomall. Mike, good morning.
Rich, I'm with the last guy. The hypocrisy is amazing. AOC, her stupidity ceases to amaze me. What were her bedtime stories? Her grandparents are sitting there telling her that old white fat guys are throwing six-pack rings, killing dolphins into the ocean. I mean, where does white supremacy come up with global change? I just don't get it.
I know.
It's absolutely amazing. It's beyond belief. And then on top of all the cities that she listed are Democratic run. So why don't we say that Democratic controlled cities can affect climate change? I mean, it's got to stop somewhere. I blame it all on the Democrats.
Well, she listed. You're right. Baltimore and Chicago and Los. I mean, every city she listed is a Democrat run city for the last 75, 80 years.
Yeah, she doesn't get it. And I love the fact that Tom Steyer and Bloomberg are in the race now. And it's amazing how all the things that they condemned Trump for are all the things they're praising these billionaires for, except for, of course, Bernie. And keep up the Bernie bit. It's the best.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that, Mike. You have a great day. 855-839-1210. We're doing an hour of nonstop talk, so do not change the station.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
But that's what I mean. That's the thing. It's the bummer, Jamie Dimon, with all your positive economic forecasts for America. Bummer. Come on, man. Things are going to tank soon, right? Oh, not really. No, things are going to be really, really strong. Leslie Stahl knows that if the economy's strong, well, president's going to get reelected. And that's really what bums her out about this. That's why she's dying for just a little nugget of hope. Hope that maybe the economy will tank. Please give us some hope. Hope. Give it a chance. 855-839-1210. Lori's in Ringo's. Lori, good morning.
Hey, Rich, I'm still so screwed up from daylight savings time that my husband and I actually saw 60 Minutes last night, which we never watch. And,
wow.
I was amazed at Leslie Stahl. I looked it up. She's 77, okay? You know how many kids are graduating, like, with degrees in journalism and communications? The woman's no longer curious, okay? She is clearly part of the bubble. She should be playing with her grandkids. If she doesn't have any, she should get a pet. I mean, I'm not an ageist. I could, in truth, get an AARP card if I didn't hate AARP myself. But, you know, she doesn't, she's not like other people who are older and need to work, okay? It's time to go.
Well, I think she's a legend over there at 60 Minutes, isn't she? She's like the last of the old legend guards, right?
Yeah, she is.
Her and Mickey Rooney? Rooney?
She is quite the legend.
But no, Andy Rooney's dead, right?
Yeah, he's
dead.
She's part of the problem. She's part of the, basically she's part of the swamp as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, she was not happy with Jamie Dimon.
No.
And his sunny optimism. So next time, I'm going to tell Jamie, next time you go on there, Jamie, you better be much more of a downer, man. You got to stop with all the sunny economic news.
Guy has probably helped other people, you know, make money in this world, like, you know, you and me. I'm not sure she's ever done that.
Probably not. But she's bummed out by all this wonderful 100-year forecast of the economy. Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Let's see. So, this is pretty fascinating now. Time to trade used guys for y'all. You say used guys?
No.
You say y'all?
I used to. We lived in the South. We had moved to the South for a few years, about 4 years. So it's easier to say. Or you could do like my great grandmother Rose. She'd say use kids. Use kids. Come in. You know. Use.
Yeah. Use. Now Philly Mag writes, why use guys should start saying y'all. For some Philadelphians, y'all is a tell. You guys, and more distinctively, use guys, are the second person plural pronouns typically associated with these parts. But that could be changing. Listen closely and you'll start noticing it, from the waitress at the new all-day cafe around the corner to the interns trading Tinder stories over cocktails in Center City. Y'all is creeping in. Y'all is creeping in. Jeff Kaplan, an executive coach who trains managers at companies like Vanguard and Jefferson Health, agrees, quote, more and more you guys feels jarring. Get it? You guys feels jarring?
Feels jarring.
You know why? Because the word guy, exactly. Because guys have penises. That's why it's jarring. Could also be a sign of who's coming here. According to Search Service apartment list, nearly 40% of out-of-towners looking for rentals in Philly last year from the D.C. area. So as the woke comes in from D.C., they're bringing y'all with them. Because I got news for you. D.C. ain't exactly the South. You know,
right?
Like if they're doing y'all, like if they're coming from, I don't know, South Carolina, maybe y'all, but D.C. is not the South. Y'all is a conscious decision. If they say that, if your people up here in this area say it, they're saying it because they don't want to say the word guy, because guy's not inclusive, because guy denotes men. And if you've got men and women in a room and you go, hey, you guys, that means that you are then using the something, right?
Yeah, but to me, like, even when we would say all men are created equal, we kind of all, you know, knew that meant all people. Like, I don't know. I don't think we nitpicked over language this much. Did we? Before, like,
no.
If you say, hey,
no.
Hey, you guys, would you say that to a group of women? Sure, I have. It's because it's like generic almost.
And also, y'all stupid.
It's not.
It's stupid.
Don't
no, it
say
is.
That.
You sound like a rube, but a hillbilly when you say it.
Stop.
Y'all want to get a cheesesteak?
Philly will never say y'all.
I better not ever say
it's
y'all.
It's a very pretty contraction. It is. It's pretty.
There's nothing pretty about it. Y'all sounds stupid.
Exactly.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
To Yankees. Yankees think it sounds stupid.
We can't start saying it in this area. I don't care how unwoke you guys is.
Well, that's why you got to do what Graham said. Use.
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 Use want to go? Use want to go now?
I like that Dawn has become the spokesperson of the South.
They also say yins up by Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
Yins want to go?
Yins.
Yeah, yins.
I like yin.
But use guys is bad. So y'all. Stupid. Oh, man. We're gonna sound like a bunch of hillbillies just to make sure that we're woke. Love it. 855-839-1210. We also have wokeness in the form of Baby It's Cold Outside. You know, that song, Christmas music is starting now to terrorize people in the mall. I noticed it over the weekend. Yep, walking around the mall and it's already playing. It's November 11th. I predict we'll be, what's that?
Our building's already decorated for Christmas, too.
God, we'll be sick of Christmas music by November 17th. That's my prediction.
True. And the schools are competing. Like, my David's in a school choir. They're competing for the B101.
Yeah.
You know, the Christmas, all the kids compete.
Right, because that station starts playing Christmas music July 3rd, right? It goes all the way to Christmas.
Love it. You don't have to turn on the
February.
Station.
No, I understand that. But when I go to the mall, I can't escape it because all they're doing is playing Christmas music. I can't escape it. So it's there. What am I going to do? Run out of the mall? What?
You go to Spencer's. They don't play that.
At Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah.
It's one store, though. I got to walk through the mall to get there, and I got to listen to all this stuff. You know what I mean?
They don't have a secret entrance into Spencer's?
They should. Right? It should have a code where you play anything but Christmas music to get in. That should be the secret, like, knock or something. Nancy's an Ambler. Nancy, good morning. Nancy. Oh, wait. I got to click on you. That would help. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Great. So I grew up in Philly, but I lived in North Carolina for several years, and I found it interesting because y'all is singular. All y'all is plural.
All y'all.
Yeah.
So you got to start saying all y'all if there's a group.
Yes.
It's all y'all want lunch now?
That's right.
God, that's annoying, huh? All y'all want to eat something? All y'all want to go? You got to do that, right?
I could never figure out how you all meant only one person.
You all is one singular. All you all is plural.
Now you got it.
All right. Now it's the beginning of the end of civilization. Thank you for that, Nancy. I appreciate it. All you all are screwed. You know what I mean? But this wokeness. Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate that. This is the Baby It's Cold Outside, which is known as the Christmas rape song.
I don't think that's what it's known as.
Kelly Clarkson and John Legend have decided now to give it a rebranding, an update.
I have this song, like the new version of the song, if you want to hear it.
Well, you have the whole package?
I have the Washington Post package.
Let's hear the package put up by the Washington Post.
Maybe it's cold outside.
I've got to go. You know the holidays are upon us when you hear this familiar tune. But a closer listen to Baby It's Cold Outside sheds light on what some call problematic and non-consensual undertones in the lyrics. Written by Frank Lesser in the 1940s, the song is a duet between a man and a woman. Critics say the lyrics point to the man forcing himself on the woman and even hints at date rape as she wonders what's in her drink.
Say, what's in this drink?
The woman repeatedly says no to his advances. And states that her family will worry about her whereabouts, while the man continues to ogle over her lips and the feel of her touch.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door. Wait.
The song was originally recorded in 1948 for the musical Neptune's Daughter, and even won the Academy Award for Best Original Song.
The winner is Frank Lesser for Baby It's Cold Outside.
The Christmas
Many
rape
a pair
song.
Put their own spin on the holiday duet.
Evening has been
so happy that you dropped
so
in.
Nice.
I'll hold your hands. Oh, they're just like ours.
I might. Father will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
favorite? Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
Oh. Really, at better
beautiful, what's your
maybe just a half a dream more.
Records on while you pull.
The neighbors might think.
So there's been 1,000 different versions of the song. It's been a very popular song. I don't know
including
if it's...
Including some satirical and sometimes dark versions.
I can't stay. Get over that old out, baby. It's cold outside.
But in 2018, as the Me Too movement dominated headlines,
see?
The song's controversial lyrics were back in the national conversation in a new way.
In 1949, people didn't go
Here's
to bed
Whoopi.
With each other.
Well, they did, but we didn't know about
well,
it.
Well,
radio stations began to ban the song. Cleveland's WDOK pulled the song from airwaves.
Which was a publicity stunt, by the way.
Yes.
When they did that. It was a total publicity stunt. These radio stations that did that just to get attention. 100%, right? This is all that it was. They said, we'll pull the song and then people will talk about our radio station. And that's why they did it. Absolutely did it that way.
Susan Lesser defended the song when it faced renewed scrutiny, saying that her parents used to perform it at holiday parties. Some feminists have argued that the song is actually advocating for women's sexual liberation. It would have been a scandal for an unmarried woman to spend the night with a man in the 40s, hence her hesitation to stay.
Exactly.
In Neptune's Daughter, the song is performed a second time, And this time, a woman implores the man to stay.
Beautiful, please don't hurry. Maybe just a little drink more. Put some records on while I
like, there's a guy that needs
in
to be convinced to stay. Please.
Songwriters John Legend and Kelly Clarkson are attempting to please everyone. They rewrote parts of Baby It's Cold Outside to give the song a different plot. Instead of trying to convince the woman to stay, the man calls her a car to go home.
And all right, now, I'll play that for you, okay? Before he calls her an Uber to go home. I'll play that in just a second, but that's what I mean, is he calls her an Uber. Yeah, get out and go.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So as political correctness just takes over everything, and y'all can't say use guys anymore, you need to know that this is not going to stop anytime soon. The assault on language, on words, on music, on songs, culture, movies, books, etc., etc. It's reaching peak insanity, but we got a long, long way to go till it rebounds. A long way to go. I mean, somebody listening to that song from the 1940s might say, yes, it's about feminine. It's about women empowerment, where the woman wants to break social norms and spend the night, but she doesn't really know if she should. But it's not really the guy's trying to date rape her as much as she wants to go against what society says is right or wrong for her. You could look at it that way if you want. Or you could look at it as, nope, it's a rape song. It's up to you. It's how you interpret it. It's your lens. Either way, though, the one thing that we can all agree on is the mob decides. And when the mob decides, well, they've decided. Now everybody else just has to go along with it. So the mob's decided that song is a rape song, and that's the way it goes. Now it just has to be banned. Radio stations will have to ban it. The song will have to be scrubbed. The hashtag MeToo era will say, we cannot even listen to this anymore, ever again, and that's the way it goes. Because it's okay to say women are victims, even when women are not victims, but that helps the MeToo agenda. So promote it. Instead of women making choices about themselves or their lives or their sexual proclivities, nope, they're just victims of men. That's what Me Too is about in so many ways. And so this song clearly is a victim song, so we'll ban it. But Kelly Clarkson and John Legend thought, well, let's make a woke version of it. So let's do a woke version of Baby It's Cold Outside. This way we can all be woke. And everybody can come around and say, this is what woke sounds like. Instead of me saying, please spend the night and cuddle by the fire and have a drink and let's fall in love. Instead of that, it's, let me call you an Uber. Take a listen.
I really can't stop.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
I can call you a ride.
This evening has been,
I'm so glad that you
so
dropped in.
Nice.
Time spent with you is
cold. By the way, you know the irony of this song is that he called her an Uber and the guy murdered her.
Stop.
No, he did. That's the irony. Put her in the Uber, the guy killed her. Dumped her body on the side of the Schuylkill.
It's the alternate version of this song.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's very dark. She got in the wrong Uber. The whole mess. Yeah. What a nightmare. Damn shame.
Door
call her
from
an
inside.
Uber.
Yeah, it was like that scene in that Angelina Jolie movie. The guy's trying to open up the car and can't get out. And next thing you know, there's the body by the airport. She should have stayed. Teach you a lesson.
But baby, it was cold outside.
But she called her an Uber. They didn't know it was going to be a psycho driving. What are you going
to
do? Go ahead.
My mama will start to worry.
I'll call the car and tell him to hurry.
My daddy will be pacing the floor.
Wait, what are you still living home
so
for?
Really,
okay, what are you living home for, you disgrace of a millennial? You can't get a job? Can't get a freaking job? By the way, isn't this like the most condescending mansplaining song of all time? I'm going to get you a car. Why are you still living home with your parents? And I'll make sure you go home. Like,
yeah.
It's totally the man in charge.
Yeah. Right. Like, she's got the app. She can call her own Uber.
Yeah. She wants to stay, but he wants her out. And maybe because he's got another floozy coming by. But if this is really about women's empowerment, then it's the opposite, because he's like, what are you living at home? I'll call you a cab. You don't obviously know how to take care of yourself. You need me, the strong man, to take care of you. By calling you a taxi.
See, you can't win.
This is totally unwoke, this song. She just wants to get a little, but he doesn't think women should have sex outside of marriage. So he's going to mansplain to her and put her in a cab and lecture her on her life choices. It's amazing.
Is Murray. Maybe just a happy dream. Oh, we're both adults, so who's keeping score? Well, I think they should rejoice.
If I have one more dream.
It's your body and your choice.
It's your body and your choice, got it? There you go. It's your body and your choice. You know, so what? You do whatever you want with your body and your choice, okay? You
know, who listens to the words?
I'm going to get you in a car anyway because it's your choice, but your choice between Uber or Lyft or just a classic taxi you can hail on the corner. That's your choice.
This is terrible.
Your ride-sharing choice. All right, keep going.
They should rejoice. And your choice.
Oh, you really know how.
Your eyes are like starlight now. One look at you, and then I fell.
I ought to say no, no.
Then you
no,
really
no,
ought to go, go,
at
go.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Well, Murray, he just pulled up outside.
Really, and Murray's outside. If you're going to say
cold.
No, get out so I can get somebody in here who's going to say yes. Because I got to get someone, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, really what he's saying is, listen, if you're not going to put out, can you please get in the car so that I can get out?
Somebody.
All right.
There's somebody else on Tinder that'll.
Yeah, I'm swiping left and she's going to be here in about 35 seconds. So I need you to get in that Uber. Yeah, as John puts it, I really can't stay, baby. It's cold outside. I'll call you a ride. Song over. Problem solved. What is the point of the next 3 minutes? It's a great point. That song should be 30 seconds. Baby, it's cold outside. I really should stay. I'll call you a cab. All right.
Thanks.
Baby, it's cold outside. The end. The end. And save America for the next 2 minutes and 45 seconds of nonsense.
It's just an example that people don't know the history of the song. I'm glad that the person who did the package that you ran mentioned that in the 40s. It was edgy because a woman was considering spending the night with a guy.
Right.
That's,
edgy.
That was the edgy part of it.
Edgy.
But now it's rapey.
Yeah. Very rapey.
I mean, not rape, as Whoopi Goldberg would say, but certainly rapey. Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
From edgy to that. Terrible. Rich, don't say that. What? My mother's texting me. Don't say that. I don't know what I'm saying that she's got a problem with, but
probably put out.
Oh, right.
Be careful, baby. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just saying that, you know, the woman is clearly the guy does not want her innocence in his house anymore. So get out. Get me a professional. A working girl. 855-839-1210. All right, listen, here's the deal. I got to give you the latest on what Nikki Haley said over the weekend and what the former ambassador to the UN said is just reverberating throughout Washington, especially now as you think about the upcoming impeachment hearings that are coming on. But I guess the question really becomes, if there is this orchestrated plot against the president, and if it even involves people he's brought into the White House, at what point are we going to get to the bottom of how many people are around him that are actually trying to undermine him? And maybe they need to just do an all-out cleansing of the people around the president, because I even have to wonder if his current chief of staff has his best interests at heart. I'll tell you about the lawsuit that Mick Mulvaney has just joined, which questions whether or not Congress can make him testify against the president. Why would he even ask the courts for guidance? Why not just say, no, I'm not going to do it? That is the question. 855-839-1210. Earl's in Tacony. Yes, Earl, go ahead.
Yeah, you said we're not allowed to say, hey, you guys, anymore. I guess they're not going to show any reruns of The Old Electric Company with Morgan Freeman. That was the introduction.
Well, that is definitely going to be banned. Put it on the ban list. All right.
Well, of course, they can't show it anyway because it had Bill Cosby and Woody Allen on it as well.
Well, Woody Allen would not be why they don't show it. Bill Cosby would be why they don't show it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Thank you. We all appreciate it. Let's go to Pat and Delco. Pat, good morning.
Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. That song went from Baby It's Cold Outside to Baby Put Out or Get Out.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Baby, if you're not going to...
That's really good for women's self-empowerment. That's a good attitude.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. Give me some or get out, and I'll call you a cab.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, well said, Pat. That's the observation. I like it. 855-839-1210. All right. So so Nikki Haley says that she was asked by the chief of staff and the secretary of state, can you please help us stop the president? That's scary for the prospect of our republic, this notion of people trying to undermine the duly elected president who are in the West Wing of the White House. But I got news for you. They're still there. Good morning, Dawn. On Veterans Day, how are we looking today?
Yes, good morning. Well, it's a beautiful morning. It's just a little bit nippy outside right now, but a beautiful morning as we begin. Zioli Show News brought to you by Exergen. 43 degrees right now. Suburban police, and this is so tragic, searching for a hit-and-run driver who struck and killed a Vietnam War veteran. This is Norristown, Pennsylvania. The family of the victim, who's identified as 67-year-old Samuel Jackson, is asking that person behind the wheel of the car, do the right thing, turn yourself in to police. Mr. Jackson, we're told, served as a Marine. He was struck after dinner time when he went to get something out of his car right in front of his home in Norristown, and that's when he was struck and killed on this eve of Veterans Day. His family speaking out even this morning, saying he loved his country and was looking forward to today's celebrations. Just tragic. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court considers the Trump administration's decision to end the DACA program, which has, as we know, this was under Obama, provided reprieve for some undocumented immigrants who came to the U.S. as children. So the ruling on what's DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, it's expected by next spring. And obviously the timing in the midst of the 2020 presidential elections. We'll be looking at that. Madonna is defending against a lawsuit saying in concert she claims a queen is never late. But not everybody agrees. She's got this Florida fan who is suing her. His name's Nate Hollander. He's taking the singer to court. He filed this lawsuit in Miami-Dade because he bought tickets, spent more than $1,000 on these tickets, three tickets for the Madam X tour, and he says they committed breach of contract because she said she would be there at 8:30, but actually the concert started at 10:30. He just wants a refund. They said no, they wouldn't give a refund. He said it's too late, 10:30. Breach of contract. We'll follow that one. A new survey reveals the least popular items at Thanksgiving dinner, and this is millennials. So Instacart and the Harris poll, they teamed up. 29% of Americans dislike canned cranberry sauce, but still eat it anyway. 46% think it's disgusting. And millennials also say that the green bean casserole, that's nasty. 22%, they don't like sweet potatoes. It doesn't say what they do like. It says they don't even like turkey. So the survey found that 42% of millennials...
Do the Italians do make lasagna for Thanksgiving. See? That's what you should do.
Yeah. It says, I think it's most of them would rather give up sex for a month than have to host Thanksgiving dinner.
God, these millennials are the worst, aren't they? Oh, my God. They really are the worst.
On this Veterans Day, a lot of restaurants, and Rich mentioned this earlier this morning, but if you go to militarybenefits.info, there are all these restaurants across our region, and places like Wawa gives free coffee for veterans, active duty, and even family members today, Monday, Veterans Day, 11-11. And at 11-11 a.m. today in Media, Pennsylvania, Delaware County's really wonderful tribute, annual tribute to our veterans. So that's when the parade kicks off, 11:11 a.m. So we thank our veterans for their service. Eyewitness weather today, it's going to be a nice day for a parade. 63 degrees, partly sunny, partly cloudy, mild day. But tomorrow will be a day that begins at about 49 degrees, then turns colder with wind chills in the 20s with a possibility for some, yes, snow flurries in our forecast tomorrow. So is your family ready for cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu really lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever. Be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies. I'm Dawn. Zioli Show News, always on the Radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. This is an hour of nonstop talk. We are not going anywhere, so stay right here. We appreciate it. The question for you, of course, is whether or not what Nikki Haley's saying is the truth, or whether Nikki Haley is exaggerating because she wants to help her own political career, or maybe her prospects around the president. That's the question. This is what the former UN ambassador said over the weekend on the Sunday shows. Her new book launches tomorrow, so you could argue, well, maybe she's just trying to sell books, maybe. Or maybe she's giving a very big warning of what's actually going on in the White House. Take a listen.
Her battles at the UN were rivaled by battles for control within the White House. Haley recounts a closed-door encounter with then-White House Chief of Staff John Kelly and then-Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Kelly and Tillerson confided in me that when they resisted the president, they weren't being insubordinate, they were trying to save the country.
And then the Secretary of State Tillerson went on to tell you the reason he resisted the president's decisions was because if he didn't, people would die. Do you memorialize that conversation? It definitely happened?
It absolutely happened. And instead of saying that to me, they should have been saying that to the president, not asking me to join them on their sidebar plan. It should have been, go tell the president what your differences are and quit if you don't like what he's doing. But to undermine a president is really a very dangerous thing. And it goes against the Constitution, and it goes against what the American people want. And it was offensive.
Now, we asked them to...
Now, if you think about that, it's offensive and it goes against the Constitution. She's right, because you have an option of running against the president, but to be there and undermine him while you're supposedly there helping the president is so antithetical to our Constitution. Look, I don't have to agree with the president's policies, but if I go to work for the guy, I've got to help the guy implement his vision. He's the one elected, not me. I didn't get elected. And if you've all these people around you who don't get elected, but they're able to put their vision in, we no longer have a republic, and the president is just a figurehead. He's just a figurehead, like, I don't know, like the Queen of England or something like that. That can't be how it works. Now, do you believe her? 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Do you believe her?
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, we got a great prize for our morning mystery clip today. It's an excellent one. It's a $50 gift card to Outback Steakhouse, which more than covers your blooming onion. So, without further ado.
The morning mystery clip. Yeah. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I am reality. There's the way it ought to be. And there's the way it is. Life is full of shit. Lice was a crusader. Now, I got no fight with any man that does what he's told. And when he don't, the machine breaks down. And when the machine breaks down, we break down. And I ain't gonna allow that. Many of you.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
A $50 gift card to Outback Steakhouse. Can't beat it. So good luck, 855-839-1210. See, Wondering Skeptic on Twitter asks me, Rich, if Trump were as dangerous as all these people claim, why would you halt his agenda? Allow every crazy thing to go through so the American people can see who they voted for. Just further proof to me that just because Trump's opinion isn't their opinion, it's dead wrong. Well, look, I think it's because he wants to bring the troops home and doesn't want any more wars. I've always said that, but that's not how it's supposed to be. If they believe that bringing the troops home doesn't make America safe around the world, they can't go against him. They can resign and speak out, and they can run against him if they want to, but they can't undermine him. It can't be how it works. Can't be how it works. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, because people elected the president who said he was going to do those things. You know, if they think that making friends with Kim Jong-un is dangerous for America versus the president who believes it'll avoid nuclear war in World War III, and they disagree, they can't undermine him on that. They need to quit, speak out, get a show on MSNBC, and then run against the guy. Warn the American people of the danger, but do it from the outside the White House. You don't do it from within trying to undermine the president. That's not patriotic. That's a coup, right? Nothing patriotic about that, period. All right. Now, we obviously, you know, as we look around the political climate, I have to bring you the latest from Bernie Sanders' rally over the weekend. Bernie hates billionaires. We know that. Bernie hates billionaires. Over the weekend, he was yelling about billionaires again. Michael Bloomberg, he's not happy that Michael Bloomberg is getting in the race. Not happy at all. Take a listen.
So tonight, we say to Michael Bloomberg and other billionaires, sorry, you ain't gonna buy this election.
He's actually not saying it. He's yelling it to Michael Bloomberg. And other billionaires.
You're not going to get elected president by avoiding Iowa.
Iowa?
By avoiding New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
South Carolina and Nevada. You're not going to buy this election by spending hundreds of millions of dollars on media in California. Those days are gone.
Gone.
The reason why we are going to win this election is because we have well over a million volunteers in every congressional district in America. We have thousands of volunteers here in Iowa knocking on doors and making phone calls. And yes, we don't have a super PAC, and I am not worth $52 billion.
But I have four houses.
This is what we do have. We have raised more campaign contributions from more Americans, averaging $16 a donation, than any candidate up to this point in the history of American politics.
All right, so he's got all this grassroots money, so he's doing really, really well, in his opinion. He's doing really well. Dave is in Trenton. Dave, what's the movie today, buddy?
Platoon.
You got it, brother. Well done. Enjoy your Outback gift card.
Thank you very much.
What's so funny?
Nothing, you know, it's Outback.
That's Outback's good. You don't want it? Give it away. Give it to somebody.
No, it's good, but, you know.
Well, that's if you listen, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If you don't want it, I'm sure somebody would happily take it.
I'll give it to my kids.
Give it to your kids. Let them go.
Man. You know, he's a college boy, so.
There you go.
We millennials are starving.
Yeah. Outback is good for all ages. Thank you for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. Look, here's the deal. I mean, I look at all this nonsense going on out there, and I think, you know, let's face it, Bernie's rallies are getting crazier because of the people he's bringing with him, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for example. But also this Native American who was there, a Native American, a real one, not Elizabeth Warren, not a fake one, but a Native American was at Bernie's rally, and... turns out a whole lot of people lived in harmony before us.
At this time, I'd like to recognize this land. Iowa is a place that was highly affected by genocide and colonization due to the rich and fertile soil that lies between the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. Before our ancestors were murdered and cleared out of this area, they farmed and lived on this land in a way that humans, the four-legged, the plant and tree people, the fish people, and Mother Earth all benefited from. The Meskwaki managed to survive the genocide and remain here today.
The fish people and the tree people and Mother Earth and the four-legged and the plant people all lived in harmony before those awful, awful white people came and killed all them, like Elizabeth Warren's family who came here on the Mayfair. Why not just say that? It's amazing. The fish people and the tree people support my candidacy.
It's a really uplifting message, isn't it?
It's always very positive.
Oh my God.
It's always positive. Jeez. Before all the blood that you're standing on from the slaughtered Native Americans. AOC got a little tongue-tied during the Bernie rally this weekend. She was just a little bit thrown off by all of the fun she was having. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the it girl of socialism.
This is not about something that we allow to happen to us. We don't let this race happen to us. We don't watch the presidential race. This is not a movie. This is a movement. So here's the deal. I got so much going on in my mind because I'm just talking to you all.
Do you? Is there a lot going on in your mind? Because I'm not so sure I believe that, by the way. I'm not so sure I'm buying that there's a lot going on in your mind. I'm thinking there's a lot of echo. Maybe like Pong, things back and forth, bounce, bounce.
Nice reference.
Bounce, bounce. That's what I think might be going on in your mind.
I, you know, and what it also, and so the deal is, sorry, and here's the deal. The deal is, I'm like, I've got so much going on in my mind because I'm just talking to you all this evening. I was like trying to prepare some remarks on the plane. I was like, I'm just going to talk to them. Okay?
Because that would involve writing and preparation. And that would be crazy. That would be insane. So, it's tough out there. It's very, very tough out there on days like today. 855-839-1210. You know, today is Veterans Day, and I want to mention, of course, it was also over the weekend the anniversary of the birth of the United States Marine Corps, the 243rd birthday of the United States Marine Corps. So we say God bless each and every one of them. And also, by the way, because it is Veterans Day, we still think about the challenges that our veterans have to go through. We think about the challenges that our veterans are still dealing with when it comes to getting services by the government, getting basic health care sometimes at the VA and that sort of thing. There's still a lot of challenges that are going on. And whenever you think about that on a day like today, you also have to question why 11/11? What's the premise of this? Well, it's the end of World War I is what we think about in terms of the 11/11 for Veterans Day. World War I, of course, and then World War II, which was going to be the war to end all wars. And then we've had subsequent wars after that. And we still have troops serving around the world. And the president, I think, in a lot of ways, wants to bring a lot of those troops home, which, in my opinion, causes a lot of the consternation that goes on in Washington. But I also saw a story, too. You know, the Veterans Affairs hospitals are still turning people away. And there's still lots of wait. There's still a lot of problems there. The federal government, it's a complicated system. They're still trying to reform it. They're still trying to make things right for our men and women who serve. But it's a good reminder, too. I mean, this is a real government system of healthcare, what the VA does. It's real government at its heart. And it doesn't work for a lot of them. It causes a lot of problems. And when you think about a government-run system and you think about how much the veterans have to deal with the very complicated situation of having to wait for appointments and the cost of something, the cost of the human cost of that. Sometimes they can't get an appointment. Sometimes they're just not given the right care that they need. You think about the scandal that happened with the VA in Philadelphia. You think about all those things and you start to think to yourself, would we really want to have a system in this country that is government run? Would we want that? And then the other question we have to ask ourselves is, if these government systems become so overburdened with just trying to take care of the people that deserve the service and the coverage, what happens when it's become, say, like a Medicare for all and it covers everybody, regardless of their immigration status? How complicated does that system get? I mean, we have not fixed the VA yet, and a lot of our men and women who are just trying to get care are still dealing with that complicated bureaucracy. But that's what would happen if we had Medicare for all. It'd be like everybody would be going to the VA. Everybody would be dealing with that same system. I can't imagine that would be good for care, especially when you add in all the people that are entitled to get care. And then you throw in also the illegal immigrants. But that's exactly what America's mother-in-law wants to do. Cut 5.
I wanted to ask you a question today about healthcare access. Restrictions to ADA and Medicare meant that in 2017, approximately 6.3 million non-citizen immigrant women of reproductive age were far more likely to be uninsured than naturalized immigrants or citizen women. We know that you have included undocumented people in your plans to provide Medicare for all. So my question is, why did you decide to include people regardless of immigration status? And would this include obtaining subsidies like the ACA's Affordable Care Act's affordability subsidies? And second, would you also support access to the Children's Health Insurance Program without regard to immigration status?
Okay, good. So let's start. I know I'm really glad you asked this. Medicare for all, as I put this together, covers everyone, regardless of immigration status. And that's it.
Everybody. Everybody's covered, regardless of immigration status. So we're going to have the government take over health care and implement a policy that would be very similar to what they have with the VA, where this is government run at its core. And we're going to do that now for the entire country and also throw in people regardless of their immigration status. That's the plan that she's running on. Now, again, I ask you, how can you run on a plan like that and win? You can't. camp because people don't want that. They want to fix the VA. They don't want to create a system similar to the VA for everybody. They want to fix the VA. It's what our veterans deserve. But they certainly don't want to duplicate that system of a government-run healthcare system. And that's exactly what Medicare for All would be. It's 100% what it would be. If our vets deserve better, I mean, everybody deserves better. Nobody needs to go down that road, that's for sure. 855-839-1210 is our number.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.